Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Look, I thought the Jets were going to win that game yesterday. I picked them on Friday, and I really felt that. The Bucs were banged up. Can you kill that music there, Alex? You get the update music still going on. Thank you. The Bucs, I thought, were banged up. They were played in... it's bad enough that these teams can't win a game, BT. I can't take the bad football anymore. And that was on both sides. Really, the quality of play around the league has been trashed through the first few weeks of the season. Clean it up. Nobody wants to sit there and watch a flag fest out on the field. It is absurd. Anyway, the Jets, again, they didn't deserve to win that game. So while we could be excited about the fact that they shockingly, miraculously came back and had a lead for a half a second before they gave it away, they played putrid football all afternoon long.
Yes, they did. And I'm not going to allow the comeback, even though it fell short, to mask the fact that for the second time in three games, the Jets didn't look like they were ready to play football. I mean, here we are, first half, the Jets averaged 2.8 yards a play. There's six penalties. Now, Tampa had more, but several of which were procedural that just stagnated drives. They had a fumble. They had a pick six. It's just in the first half, guys. They were stopped on fourth and inches. They had more missed tackles, 19 missed tackles in the game, dude. And then to me, you know, there's a play. It's first quarter. It's 3rd and 29. And there's a penalty on Sauce, whether or not it was a penalty or not. I mean, Sauce Gardner got absolutely abused because then he got smoked by Emeka Ogbuka for a 42-yard game.
He stinks, so, dude.
Sauce Gardner is doing absolutely nothing, absolutely zero. But to me, Sal, like, I understand there's a lot that you gotta kill from a ghost perspective to get this thing moving in the right direction. But one thing that's starting to worry me about Aaron Glenn, and I want to play this for you. It's not like over the top insane, but I've heard him now do this at every press conference, and he continues to reference what other people are saying, the media, the narratives. Listen to this, and then I want to follow up on it. Go ahead, guys.
We're not the same team as what everyone says, same old Jets. These guys are going to fight no matter what the situation is. There's no give up in them. I hate that term. And I really don't know what that term means, but I know this. They're not the same old Jets. All right, so these guys are fighters. I love these guys.
Now, I love the fact that he hates that term because every time that you drop it at me, I resist it. I'm like, no, I don't lean into the same old Jets. And I don't have an issue with him talking about his team the way they fought. I understand this is a Herculean task to get the Jets to the middle of the NFL and eventually, hopefully, beyond here. But Aaron Glenn, it's a small thing, and if he can just hear this, please, somebody get him this, because he's going to complicate his own job and his own life here. Stop talking about the narratives, and stop talking about all the other stuff that happened before you got here. Just talk about the games. I think it's a disservice, Sal. It's not a smart tactic, and he's doing it every time.
The problem is, if we were going to focus on the games, his record is what it is. It's 0-3. This was the first time. See, I thought the Jets were going to be a competitive football team, button things up, be more what we saw in week one, and be able to take advantage of a down Bucs team. Like, hey, it does happen in the NFL. You saw the Browns beat the Packers. Like, teams upset teams almost on a weekly basis. Yet in New York, it seems like an impossibility. I thought that would be one spot where the Jets would upset the Bucs. Glenn that's the first time that he started to lose me with the way that he spoke in the postgame, with the way that he was happily clapping after the loss. Like, no.
Yeah, and that's not even the celebration on the touchdown. That's after the game you're talking about when he was clapping.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a second. Yeah. No, the fact that he was still clapping after the loss, like he was proud of his team for fighting back. No. Your team sucked all day long. By the way, it's not just Sauce Gardner who is maybe the most overrated player. And if I was saying this last year, I'm certainly going to say it now. He's the most overrated player in the league. He is a string bean out there who's not physical at all. Like, I don't know how the hell this guy's got voted all pro. What are these guys watching? I've seen great cornerbacks in my life. Even recent ones. You don't have to go back to Deion Sanders. Whether it's Revis, whether it's Nnamdi Asomugha. Like, there are great corners. Even some of the current guys, Sertan, whatever it may be.
Winfield's pretty good.
Dude, Sauce Gardner? What? When is he going to make a big play? When is he going to make a big play? He was getting chewed up and spit out yesterday. Matter of fact, so bad with the Jets with the stupid penalties that I'm thinking, Glenn, stop accepting the penalties. Just let them punt the football and try to kick the field goal.
That's what I was thinking,
Something's bound to happen. Yeah, it's third and forever, but one mistake is going to cost you, and that's exactly what happened. Also, Garrett Wilson. How does he not come back to that ball? He leaves it up to float, change the entire
big
game.
Six.
Like, yeah, not that Tyrod Taylor's a great quarterback.
He played pretty well. I thought Tyrod was really just stuck his nose in there. He made some plays. He did a good job.
He is as tough
as
they come. However, he's also conservative.
Yeah,
he's not going to be flinging the ball down the field. But when he does.
No, but he's open.
When he does, can Garrett come back to the ball and make a freaking play on it, dude? Like, those are their two best guys, Sauce and Garrett Wilson. They're supposed to lead the way.
Yeah.
And they weren't, not to mention Breece and the Jets came running. Anyway, back to Aaron Glenn for a second. That's the first time he started to lose me. I don't think that's a game where, as the head coach, you should be clapping after your team just lost at the final buzzer there.
It's not high school, man. It's not college. You know, the last thing I'm going to do is try to suck the life out of that guy and the morale and the spirit, because one of the reasons that I really and still absolutely believe in Aaron Glenn is, number one, you know, his knowledge, his experience, who he worked with, Parcells, his playing career, how he climbed the coaching tree and the ranks, all those things we talked about. But, I mean, this is a man's man. This is a man with integrity and purpose and presence, right? So I'm going to bet on that stuff more than I'm not. And eventually, one quick sidestep. Yeah. What we can't do is he uses the term instant coffee. I'll use microwave. It's the same thing. Even though they're 0-3, and it's a bad look optically, clapping, I'm with you on that, right? And they looked horrible again yesterday for 90%. They were awful for 90% of the game. Horrible, 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 right? No excuses, horrible. But I do think that we have to understand that year one for any coach that's coming into a bad situation, yes, it's about trying to get them to eventually win, but really the first thing you got to do is you got to get rid of the guys who just don't fit what you try to do.
Right.
And there's a feeling out
there.
It takes a while, so let's not lose sight of the perspective. I know we're not. But to me, the most disappointing thing from yesterday is, number one, the Jets' pass protection was awful. I mean, again, talk about Tyrod Taylor sticking his beak in there and getting popped basically every play. They had 27 quarterback pressures. They had 4 sacks. I mean, and the Jets' whole line has a bunch of first-round picks on it. And I know Todd Bowles is a good defensive coach. The pass protection was horrendous. Again, 19 missed tackles. There was a swing pass to Bucky Irvin that went for 30 yards where 7 Jets missed him. The defense did nothing against a patchwork offensive line, which to me is the most disappointing aspect of what transpired. And, you know, it's too early to start giving out grades on Muji here, but they are embarrassingly thin at the second, third, and fourth wide receiver spot. Like, the Jets receivers outside of Garrett Wilson, it's expansion level, dude. It's that bad.
Yeah, okay, but to me, that's like something that he's going to have to address in the offseason and maybe year two. I would focus on Glenn and the, I don't want to say mixed messaging, but do you think Aaron Glenn was legitimately happy when that game went final last night or yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, there's no way he's happy. Okay. I mean, he's a winner, so he's not happy with the loss.
Me neither. So what I think is going on here, remember the negative cloud that we talked about on Friday hovering toward Aaron Glenn? He's starting to feel it with the media, with the fan base, and that pressure a little bit. And then in a spot where authentically Aaron Glenn should be rightfully annoyed with the sloppy way that his team played the majority of that game and, of course, the way that it ended, he was trying to compensate for that and not letting that negative narrative seep in and saying, hey, we fought back. This is not the same old. No. He didn't say that after week one. They played much better in week one. What did he say after week
There's
one?
No moral victories, right?
So then why is he clapping as they just got beat at the final buzzer yesterday?
Well, let me ask you a question here. So we talk about the changing of a culture. God, and it's been so elusive for both of these football teams, right? But in his mind, like the way you change the culture eventually is to start cranking out some wins and right. have some belief, right? But before you get the wins, how do you change the culture? Maybe, and we'll see if it's effective. And again, it's not a great look at the pro level, but maybe in his mind, he's saying, all right, I've got to fix it on something positive, and that's the comeback, and I could use this as a little building chip right. to facilitate the acceleration of the building of the culture, even if we might not like him clapping. Yeah. In his mind, what's the other thing? Resignation? We lost, we're 0-3, and just have this morbid handshake and just take it on the chin and go in there. Like, I don't know what the other option is.
Be consistent. And you can say, look, we played like dog crap the majority of that game, but I'm proud of the way the guys fought back and didn't just let go of the rope. They fought back. Unfortunately, we got to make a defensive stop there. No, instead it was, we're not the same old Jets. Like, he's fighting off that narrative. He's clapping on the side, you know, on the middle of the field. Like, it's all right, it's all right. No, like that, to me, if you watch that entire game, that was not an effort to be proud of. Where I would give them the benefit of the doubt in week one, I thought that that was an effort to be proud of. No moral victories. But, like, even if the Jets won that game yesterday, my take would have been, dude, like, that was a horrible, horrible display of football. But at least they got the win. Like, you're not going to apologize for any win.
Yeah, well, and Sal, think about it. If they would have gotten the win, they would have had a defensive stop at the end as well. So that would have, you know, you would have had the block punt, Will McDonald, yeah, right. house it, then you get a stop to win it if they would have won. And then you could at least, we could at least come on the air and say, well, all right, there's one win. Now you got Miami, who's basically in a body bag, whose coach is going to get fired yeah. soon, coming up, you know, Monday Night Football. So maybe the Jets have a chance to get to 2-2. And unlike the Giants, the Jets' schedule does soften. You're going to play the Bengals without Burrow. You're going to play the Pats a couple times. You're going to play Miami. You know, like, there are wins to be had here. But when you're 0-3, nobody wants to hear it. You're 0-3.
The number one thing that Aaron Glenn cannot do under any circumstance is let any of that negative feel, the history, seep into his thought process. And I think it's already started to in week three.
I think it's clear. The opposite. I think by the fact that he's trying to so proactively and publicly address it and embrace it tells me that he's not feeding into it. Now, if it works, I don't know.
But he shouldn't even be acknowledging it.
That's different.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay. He's already let that seep in, that negative or.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
And the same old Jets, and you know, like the negative feel that we've had here now at 0-3, but even with 0-2, that should not enter his thought process. He's got a job to do in rebuilding this thing. It takes a while. People will understand that. And regardless of who's riding what or who's saying what, stick to what you believe in and stick to your plan. And the way that, to me, he handled the post-game press conference and the way that he was clapping, that's where I thought that maybe he let that seep in. I had now with the celebration that he did, I had no issue with that myself. He's caught up in the moment.
Yeah.
Guy makes a great play. They miraculously have, you know, just tied the game and are about to take the lead here. I did not have a problem. This is a new age. It's not Bill Parcells. It's Aaron Glenn, but it's in 2025. Like, yeah, he's a Parcells disciple, and Bill wouldn't be doing that.
Yeah, well, Bill couldn't move, much.
Right. Other coaches do that. McVay does, like, all
Oh, Robert Saleh did it the night that Rodgers got hurt. Remember when Gibson returned to the house against the Bills? He ran on the field. He jumped in a pile.
I mean, that's not the example that I want to use.
It's
Robert Saleh. But that's that, to me, is... I have no issue with Aaron Glenn celebrating the way that he did on the field.
All right, the day, again, the day that I tried to, you know, just hold down enthusiasm and passion is the day that I'm just a joyless, miserable person. And that I hope I never become that person. I'm kind of with you. Now, I wanted to let it marinate for a little bit because I jump on and do the podcast, which, by the way, is there a dumber endeavor than to actually do a Jets podcast after every game? Honestly, I may as well sit there and stick needles in my eyeballs and call it the needle in the eyeball podcast instead of the other. There's nothing more depressing than doing that. I'm sitting there on my couch just waiting for the game to end, knowing I've got to do a podcast and instant it really is miserable. But I did want to let this soak in a little bit because the reaction in real time, I'm like, I was fired up along there with him. I was, like every Jet fan. Now that I've had a full day to process it, I don't have a massive issue with it. Like you, I don't. But Sal, we're not the head coach. You know, you've got to understand that I'm going to give him a pass. I'm not burying him on this, but there's a minute and 43 seconds to go. Tampa's got a couple timeouts. They just need a field goal. Like, there's, you know, you can't be that lost in the moment, even though you're incredibly enthusiastic. You got to be the CEO. Now, he's going to grow into that, and I'm going to give him some latitude to do that. I love the fire, but I prefer a little bit more balance in that moment.
Yeah, the timing of it to me is what I would have an issue. I don't have an issue with him showing emotion or going nuts after a huge play like that. The fact that he celebrated as if it was going to mean a win is where I would have an issue with that. At that particular point, you just tied the game. So I like that emotion. I like him being excited. The timing of it, where obviously the Jets didn't have the win. They didn't even have the lead at that particular point. That could be where you have a little bit of an issue. 888-808-1019. Mike is on West Long Branch, New Jersey. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't even understand why they gave Ahmad Gardner, I'm not even calling him Sauce anymore, all that money. Last year he was terrible. I mean, we could say how bad he is. The other teams are picking on him. It's not like Darrelle Revis is on the other side. I mean, even against Buffalo, after Josh Allen broke his nose, they bring Trubisky on 3rd and 10 and just pick on him and pick
first play.
20 yards.
First play.
3rd and 29. They just bomb it out to him. He commits a penalty. I mean, $30 million or whatever they gave this guy, I mean, it's mind-blowing. They should have made him wait. I said it in the offseason when they were talking about it. I just don't understand what they're going to do with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, what they're going to do with him is they're going to play him and they're going to pay him. That's what they're going to do, Mike. Thanks for the call. I mean, I understand he is highly overrated, and he cannot tackle. He never makes any disruptive plays. There's no pick sixes. There's nothing, really. I mean, yeah, he blankets some guys, but there's just not enough bang for the buck. It's incredibly disappointing. At least Garrett Wilson makes plays. Now, they decided to pay both of them. That's why I bring Garrett Wilson into the equation. But I get it. It was a tricky, delicate balance, because when you have a good player, to not keep him around, that doesn't do much for the culture either. So they were in a rough spot, and I'm sure that Aaron Glenn looked at every single snap of Gardner's career and said, I could work with this kid. He is a stud. I just got to get him right. He's not right yet.
Yeah.
They just pick on him. He's right.
And I don't want to hear about Mike Evans, who's a physical specimen and a big-time receiver. Well, that's what number one corners are supposed to do. You're a great cornerback. You got to shut him down. And Sauce Gardner can't do that. And it's not just that. It's been years to me that Sauce, I don't care how many all pros he's gotten. I'm watching these games here. Sauce does not do nearly enough to me to be justified as an all pro or one of the best cornerbacks in the league. It's the same thing every freaking week, even if that wasn't necessarily a penalty, which I do think it was a tough call on him for that particular play. New York sports for a long time has been down. It has been down for a long time. Outside of the Yankees, and even them, like they haven't won the World Series since 2009, but outside of the Yankees, where is the success? Yeah, there's one random one-off years, whether it was the Mets last year going on the run to the NLCS or the Giants a few years back getting the postseason. In total, even the Knicks, as good as they've been consistently for, you know, 4 or 5 years, whatever it's been, they have ultimately disappointed with 2 years in a row falling short of at least winning another series that people expected them.
Nobody's ever good at the same time. It's amazing how it's so, it's just,
Who's good? Outside of the Yankees, who are the constant?
Yanks and Knicks.
The Yanks are the one constant.
Rangers have had some good years. Yeah. Obviously fallen short.
Yeah,
but
it's always disappointing. Like, where's the...
I know.
Where's the non-disappointing season? And with football, honestly, with football...
Well, football's unwatchable. That's what it's become.
Well, we're not asking for much. We're asking to maybe be relevant in mid-October. We were talking, like, before the year, hey, are these teams going to be around before, you know, Halloween? The answer is no. Yet again, no. Like, yeah, Jackson Dart could change the feel and the conversation. Aaron Glenn, his first year, is going to be a talking point. And by the way, I do think the Jets missed Justin Fields yesterday. I know Tyrod Taylor is tough as nails. It was lacking another layer to the offense without Justin Fields.
No, I'm with you on that.
And
I'm
his
with
potential.
You. Yeah, I mean, it's torturous, man. I really don't know how else to describe it. And it's just not even, it really, well, I mean, for us, it is kind of work, but it really feels like work.
Yeah.
That's the best way to describe it. It feels like sitting down to work, to watch these teams.
Watching the football games is brutal. Oh. All right, BT and Sal on the Fan, WFAN NFL Football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's get some Jets and Giants calls in here. Nick is in Tampa, Florida. What's up, Nick?
What's happening, Nicky?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
I went to that game yesterday, and, man, the sunburn is hurting today. But we were in section 331. It was my birthday. We bought these tickets a while back. It's really exciting. A lot of Jet fans there, tons of Jet fans, and every Jet fan saying the same thing. Stop running the ball on 3rd and 1 with Braylon Allen. You never get a yard ever. He gets stopped more than any running back on 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1 than I've ever seen. All we hear is he's brick, he's huge, he's young, he's fast, he's a workhorse. He gets stopped more than anyone I've ever seen back there. And they're just so predictable. Every Buck fan was laughing at us because we kept accepting the penalties when we should have just declined them because we knew we were going to give them an automatic first down. Just so frustrating. And
what the hell is that noise?
Like, is that a parakeet?
Is that a bird or something?
Hey,
what is that?
I don't know. There's landscapers around. I'm sorry.
No, it's all right. It sounds like a whistle every, like, you know, 2 seconds. You hear that?
No, I don't hear it. I don't know.
Be silent for a second. Be silent for a second.
Yeah, right there.
Okay.
Of course, now he's playing possum.
You still there, Nick?
I'm still here. I'm still here.
It sounds like a little like a little cricket almost, right? Something like that.
A bird whistle. Yeah. Anyway.
I'll tell you, man. Listen.
Were you able to hear anything I said?
No, we did. Unfortunately, we
happy
got
birthday. Right,
well,
we heard
Brandon,
that.
Please still keep doing the podcast.
Yeah, there you go, BT.
I'm going to keep doing it. It's let me tell you something. It is a next level of either pain or resignation or torture or whatever word you want to use when you walk out, and I say this because he was there, even though he lives down in Florida, but when you go to watch your team play, particularly in the NFL, on the road, like, it's one thing you go to MetLife, you know, you're not that far, you live in Jersey, maybe Long Island, Queens, Brooklyn, where, Staten Island, all right, you get home. But when you travel, as I have many times, to go watch the Jets play on the road, and you're walking out of the stadium, and you just, you know, you bump into 500 random Jet fans throughout the day, you just look at each other like it's this knowing glance, like we're pathetic, man.
Yeah.
Like, not only is our team awful, but we actually went out of our way proactively to spend money and to fly somewhere to watch our team lose.
But I would assume the thought process behind that is not one of let's go see our team win. Obviously, it can't be that.
But it's always motivated by the hope that you think that they might reward you with a win.
What would make you think that at this point the Jets would reward you with a win? How many years do you need to see it?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying, dude? I'm not trying to pick on the Jets. Like, it's the Jets and Giants, but when you go to those trips, it's got to be like, all right, we're going to go have fun.
It is.
Hang out with our groups of fans.
Yeah, but it is. But then you still... Listen, this is what separates us, you know, fans from those who just really don't care anymore. And you and I both do. Like, you go to these trips, or you go to a game, or even with the Mets hanging by a string right now. I mean, the Mets look awful, but, as a fan, you say to yourself, all right, we got six games to go. We're going to do this. And if you don't gravitate toward the positive, Sal, and again, there's a very, very stark difference between being delusional and being slightly optimistic. But if you don't have a speck of optimism, what the hell are we doing?
Yeah, and I did think, I'm just saying, like, you don't book that trip saying, like, yeah, we're going to go here and see a win. You could hope that that's the case, but that's not why you're doing it. So, yeah, you can't let the team, as crazy as it sounds, get in the way of what could be an otherwise good trip. I thought the Jets could win that game yesterday.
So did I.
I really thought that they were going to win that game. Matter of fact, I bet them, not even with the points, of course, like, typical. That's how. I'm like, why am I doing this? It's 6.5 points, so many points. Just take the points, because I was down, so I want, from the first 2 weeks,
yeah.
I wanted the better payout. So I put whatever.
Money line at plus, what, 240?
Yeah, exactly. Put $40 in there to win 100 or something like that.
All right.
Yeah, but.
Thanks for the deposit, Sal.
Exactly. Like, so point is, I did really think that the Jets could win that game. I mean, it is football. You've seen bad teams win games, except for the New York teams.
Well, one thing, though, and again, this I don't want to do this too much here, but this jumped out right away. Like, the Jets opening drive, right? They come out passing a little bit, which I think was a little bit of a surprise, because obviously it's Tyrod Taylor and you would think they'd be a little more conservative. I like that Tanner Engstrand came out and threw the ball a little bit, and I thought they had pretty good diversity, and they get a gift there. That's the first Tampa penalty with the horse collar. So you get 15 yards after an Arian Smith first down reception, right? Taylor had a 7-yard run. You're moving the football. Sal, it's second and one. And then the Jets have an illegal formation on themselves. I think it was Smith who was lined up in the wrong spot. And instead of being now second and one and being able to do anything in the playbook, now it's second and six. You get a 2-yard run. And now all of a sudden, third and four. And everything changes. And instead of walking away with, it's not a guaranteed seven, I get it, but once you did that, the chances decrease significantly. You get a field goal. And then the next position, then Quentin Williams with the unnecessary, the face mask, 15 yards. And then you got the third and 29. Like, right away, the sloppiness was evident, which is why I said, did the Jets look ready to play the game? And if you guys are just tuning in, free Odyssey app, obviously. But the thing that's dispiriting to me, they were ready to play against the Steelers. They were not ready to play against the Bills. They were not ready to play yesterday.
Glenn is calling from Clifton, New Jersey about his Giants. What's up, Glenn? Okay.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all, Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Glenn is not there. Mark is calling from Houston, Texans about the Giants. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Houston, Texas. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys. Big Giant fan. I know there's more important things in life, but, man, they ruin every Sunday. I mean, I can't eat my macaroni and gravy. They just ruin every Sunday. My question for you guys is, I'm kind of with you. I think you said it, Sal. I wouldn't start Dart until the last Eagle game. I think it would just be a disaster. But, I mean, could it be much worse? It's just awful. And as a Giants fan, BT, I do watch and love your Jet podcast, by the way. It makes me laugh.
Oh,
so,
nice.
Thank you.
Glad to be entertaining.
Oh, thank you for the call, Mark. We appreciate you checking
Thanks,
in.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, the answer is, though, it could be worse. If you start Jackson Dart and he's not ready and he starts to regress, or whatever you thought he could be is not there. That is the absolute worst case scenario.
Yes.
They are in a spot now where they need him to be good.
Well, I don't think that Brian Daboll's earned the right to throw a Hail Mary to try to save us behind here, right, at the risk of, at this juncture, not yet, it's way too early, at the risk of, you know, Jackson Dart coming in and changing the complexion of how we perceive the Giants, how we perceive Dable, how we perceive Shane. I just don't think he's earned that.
Yeah. No, he hasn't, of course. But the point is, it can be worse. Like, you feel like, what's the difference? It's like the second caller, and I'm sure other fans are thinking the same thing. It can't be worse than it is right now. Just let's see what Jackson Dart has.
Oh, no, it could be worse.
Yeah, worse is not having him develop properly. That's worse. Ed is in Melbourne, Florida. What's up, Ed?
How you doing, man?
We're spanning the globe today, or at least the U.S. What's up, Ed?
Eddie.
I like that, Sal. There's a giant call, but Sal, I got to tell you, we are masochists down here. My daughter's going to see the Mets in Miami this Saturday night. Talk about silly.
Oh, Saturday's anyway. A good one. That might be elimination day for the Mets officially.
Exactly.
If they make it that far. Because I have a feeling I might go out before that.
Go back in time with BT on this if I could. BT, do you recall, this is about the Mariners, really. I know they're not selling the team, but I think he's getting a pass more than everybody else. His father and his uncles, they needed a brokerage by Pete Rozelle to get George Young hired in 79. I don't know. You recall that?
I've read about that. Yeah, I mean, I was five years old. I've read about it. I know historically what happened, but not in real time. Yeah, but keep going. Right.
Yeah, so then what happens is now he's been very involved in the process of hiring Gettleman, Schumer, Judge, these two clowns. It's time, like, even if he's not going to sell the team, something has to be done there. And I know he's signing the checks, mm-hmm, as far as getting football people. Now in 2025, it's very different from 79. Well, the availability of how you guys even said that they could have had Harbaugh for a song and dance.
Well, anybody could have. Jets could have had him as well, too.
Harbaugh wanted to come back and coach. Nobody wanted him.
Amazing.
Hold on, Ed.
I'm sorry. But are you saying that the NFL should intervene?
No, not really.
They can't.
It shows you how if they were intervening in the 79. That was Rozelle because they want the better ratings in New York.
Understood. But you can't do it now.
No, you can't do that now.
There's no grounds for it.
I think his process of hiring has to be put in, you know, to be viewed more than just yelling at Dable and Shane every Monday. But, you know, there's something not right with this hiring process that's going on for the past, like, 10 years.
Think about this, though, Ed. Here's the problem, and thank you for the call. I'm going to do something that seems impossible to do at this particular point. I'm going to be fair to Shane and Dable. It can't just be that Mara continues to hire the wrong guys and everybody that he's hired isn't good. Shane and Dable did have success in year one getting to the postseason. Now, you could say, well, yeah, that's what the prior regime's team. Understood, but getting to the playoffs is something that Shermer or Joe Judge, those guys couldn't sniff. So then we did see that with Brian Dable and Joe Shane. The problem could in fact be, the biggest problem, is that Mara forced Daniel Jones on Shane and Dable, which made them give Jones that contract, which basically two extra years, like, this is year four. We're 3 weeks into year four. And again, I'm not saying it's good. And you know where I stand. I would have fired them both after last season just because it is what it is. Whose ever fault it may be. But is it that Shane doesn't know what he's doing? And that Dable doesn't know what he's doing? Or is it that when they got here, it wasn't the best of circumstances? The owner forced the quarterback on them and made it a little difficult with the running back early on as well. And that led to decisions that kind of hurt them in year two and year three. Whereas now in year four, for the first time, they finally drafted their quarterback. We haven't even seen him take the field. We haven't even seen him throw a pass yet. So, like, I guess my question is, of the 3 years they've been here, one has been a postseason year. The other two were led by a quarterback that had nothing to do with them. Like, you got to be fair. What would constitute success?
I'd say this, and I know where you're going, and it's part of the discussion, all right? If they were more competitive,
right.
I mean, just there's not even most times remnants of an offense.
We don't need 30
points every week, but, I mean, Giants don't score touchdowns. Week one, they get shut out. I mean, 3 years in a row, though. I mean, all these stats that we're just getting smashed over the head with here. If the results were even if the wins and the losses, Sal, weren't necessarily better, but, like, optically, from an offensive perspective, it just looked more like we thought it would look when the Giants decided to step out of the organization, which we gave them credit for because Mara rarely did that, and bring in an offensive mind in Dable, and they were losing, you know, 37, 24, 40, 27. And we're like, all right, we've got to fix the defense. But they can't even score. So there's really no evidence that he's the guy. It's rough.
Little Vanilla Ice, Alex's arm. You're not even old enough to remember Vanilla Ice. How old are you?
I'm 25.
What do you know about Vanilla Ice, bro?
The thing is, there's a player on my favorite soccer team. His name is Rice, and okay. He did his own version of it called Rice Baby.
There you go. Oh, well, boy. Ben Rice could use that. Obviously, a big day yesterday for him. BT and Sal on the fan. If not for the Yankees, we'd be really miserable. We'll do the Mets coming up at 1 o'clock. BT, we'll get more into them, but we want to get to the calls here. Keep it going with the NFL talk with both the Jets and Giants. Mad Mike is calling from Charlotte. What's up, Mad Mike?
Hey, guys, what's up? How are we doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I'm really, really disappointed in this team, and, you know, I see it going nowhere. Few points. So with the same old Jets theme, I mean, to me, it is the same old Jets, until it's not. I mean, I haven't seen anything else, and if this is not the same old Jets, maybe I want the same old Jets, because I just don't like what I'm seeing right now. As far as the coach is concerned, I mean, every time I look at him or I hear his name, I say one thing, and I say, to me, he's Robert Saleh, until he's not. I mean, he's done absolutely nothing. The only reason he's here is because he was a former Jet. He was a former player. Everybody loved him. His celebration was a little bit kind of...
Yeah, but hold on a second, Mike, hold on. Forget, we'll get to celebrate. Hold on. That's unfair to Aaron Glenn. To say that Aaron's here because he was... Now, listen, I respect that you pissed off, and I don't know if he's going to be ultimately the right coach or the wrong coach, but to say the only reason that he's here is because he played for the Jets is really disrespecting the man's climb into coaching ranks. Other teams wanted him. He turned down interviews.
He's been a coach a long time, working his way up to get this opportunity.
He was a scout.
And just pick him out of the broadcast booth.
Yeah, no, I get it. Maybe I was a little bit wrong.
Right.
But that was a big part of bringing him here. If he wasn't a former Jet and so beloved, would he be here, do you think, or no?
I mean, I can't answer that. Listen, was that maybe the deciding... You know, if you have two candidates who are fairly equal in your determination and one knows the building and knows the city and was a really good player here and is from the Parcells tree, wouldn't you go that way?
You shouldn't have, no, to me, it would have nothing to do with it.
But I'm saying if they're comparable. If you have two similar, now how do you split that and say it's 50-50? But
I just like I don't care where a player is from, where he grew up, don't care. From a fan perspective, sure. Like, nostalgia from a fan perspective. If I'm an owner making a hire, it would have nothing to do with it.
Yeah, listen, I get that. You're consistent with that. I'm just saying, like, if you have two people who you really do like, and one you're like, well, is he going to be able to handle New York, and the other guy already has. Now, granted, when Aaron was a player, it's not like he was Boomer as the quarterback who's sitting there facing the media all the time. It's not like a corner, you know, is bombarded with, you know, a million press conferences. You kind of blend in, even though he was very good. To me, it didn't tip the decision in that direction, but I'm just saying let's not run the man's accomplishment short like he was a scout and then he really diligently worked his way up. Now, if it's the right hire, I don't know. I loved it when they did it. I wanted him. Right now, I'm not loving what I'm seeing, but it's early and it does underscore the depth of the job. It's the toughest job in sports.
I wish that he would have handled the same old Jets thing differently. Like the caller just said, to me, that's what Aaron Glenn should have said. Yeah, people want to say we're the same old Jets, and right now our record says that we are. And we're going to be the same old Jets until we're not. But my job is to change that, and I will.
Yeah, that's a good way to handle it. Rather than saying we're not when you're still 0-3.
Yes! Yes, exactly! Yeah. He's better than that! He got a week three, to me, was the first time he got away from being what he was, which was my way or the highway. No nonsense. I'm not even letting that negative bullcrap infiltrate my mindset of what we're trying to do here. This is a long process. Like, just take it head on. Don't, like, once you start trying to pretend something you're not, or trying to fool New York, we're too smart for that here. We know that. So you could be frustrated by it, and I get it. You could have won that game very easily. So you're frustrated, and instead of taking that anger out, you want to have a positive spin on it. Say, no, we're not. This is how, you know, we fought back and I'm proud of this group. Okay, there are ways to do that. Not in that spot, not like that. We're the same old Jets until we're not. And it's my job to make sure everybody knows we're not and we're getting there eventually.
But I don't think he's trying to fool us. I think he's talking to the room. I mean, anytime, listen, these press conferences, whether it's Boone after a game and those, any coach that we listen to, all the coaches here, it's a requirement, sure. Otherwise, you get fined. But really, that's the liaison to the locker room. So I don't think Aaron's sitting up there saying, hey, let me try to tell these, you know, hundreds of thousands or however many Jet fans that we're not the same old Jets and they'll believe me because they're dopey and I'm just going to take my word for it. I think he's just talking to the room.
Fair enough.
And, you know, and I respect the creativity, but it's just a little hollow when you're still 0-3 and you lost in the manner in which you did.
The way that I would say it to do it then is talk to the room when you're in the room with the players and handle the media a little bit differently.
That's fair.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Eddie in Vernon, New Jersey has really pressing issues on his mind. What's up, Eddie?
Really, really pressing. Now, I want to add a little levity to this gloomy Monday in New York sports. You had a caller, I don't know, maybe three callers ago, telling you that he couldn't eat his macaroni and gravy on a Sunday.
That's what he said.
I want to know exactly what is macaroni and gravy.
Well, you're not Italian, are you, Eddie? Not that you need to be.
I am Italian. My name is Maserati.
Eddie, I'm with you. It's sauce. Macaroni and sauce.
Well, you know what he means, Eddie. He's got the meat there, obviously, which makes it the gravy.
Macaroni isn't even right.
What?
Macaroni?
Yeah.
Eddie's... Pasta!
All right, well, whatever.
Come on, man.
You can have spaghetti and meatballs.
Pasta,
it's not pasta.
Sauce.
No, it's not pasta. I mean, Eddie, that now's where you're losing me, and thank you for the call. Well, I did hear that, and I will admit, no, I'm getting caught up with trying to do a sports talk show. I don't want to get totally derailed with that. I am not, like, never once in my household ever, when my grandparents alive, whatever it may be, did we ever refer to sauce as gravy.
We always say gravy.
Really?
Yeah, we do, and I say it too now. Yeah, I do. I do.
Wow.
Yeah, there's no going. It's like politics, man. You're either a gravy or you're a sauce person. Not much in between.
Mac
and anything is never. Dude, I'm sorry. Like macaroni is not like a thing.
Oh, mac and cheese. Yeah,
macaroni and cheese. Okay, we're kids. No.
Yeah, macaroni's a term you don't hear too much.
No,
it's
not macaroni. It's pasta, dude. Get the pasta out.
Dude, I was so depressed. I didn't want to eat yesterday. I didn't even go and get the sandwich. I'm like, I had a banana.
I don't know. I ate it. I enjoyed myself.
I just didn't enjoy the game again. Like, I was so pumped the first 2 weeks. I didn't know what to expect yesterday. I thought the Giants would. I definitely thought the Giants would play better. I thought the Giants had a chance to win that game going in. You know, I didn't want to let my Jet fandom take over my mind, so I thought that they'd cover and lose a tight one. But I was just like, all right, well, it's here. All right, put the game on. It's 1-2. Let's go. And I just was so, off-put already by the football season.
Yeah, I'm mad that I had to waste a Sunday night watching the Giants lose another game instead of watching Task on HBO, which I love that
Task,
show.
Task,
is that a Task?
HBO Max, yeah.
Is that the name of the show? I always get it mixed up with Task, maybe?
No, Task, yeah.
You watch it?
I have it. I want it.
Oh, it's so good.
Brennis, what is it?
It is... How would you describe it, Hoff? Do you know what it's about? It's like FBI trying to uncover...
It's
gang
an FBI
selling
agent
drugs.
Heads a task force to put an end to a string of violent robberies.
There you go. Yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
And the guy from Ozark, who season 3, I think it was, who was amazing. It was the brother of
Mark Ruffalo stars in it, doesn't he?
Well, Mark Ruffalo. No offense to Mark Ruffalo, he's a great actor, but the guy from Ozark was unbelievable in season 3, and he's the other star.
So now imagine like my wife's disappointment when this is a show that's appointment television for us. I'm like, sorry, I got to watch the Giants and Chiefs. And I'm falling asleep in the third quarter, literally. Like,
another 3 weeks, you won't have to say that.
Yeah,
we're fired up. Let's binge.
Three, what are you kidding me? I'm going around the league.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's Kelly Clarkson here to talk all things Wayfair, the best place to buy furniture, decor, and anything else you can think of to create a home you absolutely love. I know when I shop with Wayfair, I find options for every style, whether I'm feeling boho or farmhouse, modern, traditional, French country. I can find exactly what I need for my home and more. No matter your space, style, or budget, shop Wayfair.com to make your home way more you.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer and Geo, and if you're into New York sports or you want straight talk about what's really going on in the sports world, Boomer and Geo is your show.
We're covering it all. Yankees wins, Giants drama, national headlines, and whatever chaos the day brings on the field and off.
No filler, no filters, just real conversation, and believe me, plenty of laughs every weekday morning.
We don't hold back, and we don't waste your time. We get to what actually matters.
That's Boomer and Geo, and you can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.